That's why Jesus came and died, because you couldn't do it. And by the way, let me ask you this question. When are you going to get it straight? Look, sit down. What's your plan? What's your plan for getting your life straight? Okay, you got to quit doing this. Well, when are you going to quit doing it? See, that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to help us get our life straight. And that we don't have to try to get it straight. We don't have to try to get it straight ourselves.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, All Men Are Without Excuse. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of All Men Are Without Excuse.
And probably for my benefit, probably it was good that it didn't happen that way. And I remember I was getting ready to go out to a party that night. And he told me, he said, you better not go to the party. And I said, well, why not? He said, because you might be at the party, man. If the Holy Ghost comes on you, you don't want to be at the party when the Holy Ghost comes on you. And so I went home, man. I sat there waiting for the Holy Ghost. Never came. Then I went back to college that fall and forgot all about that experience. But God was still speaking to my heart. He was still speaking to me, and I knew that there was something that was drawing me to him. And I came back home next summer, and to make a real long story short, Pastor Berkeley, who was one of my best friends, came, and he was the guy that led us all to get high. I remember we were sitting on a bridge one time, and Pastor Berkeley came by with some herb, and he rolled it up, and we all smoked it, and we all got high. And the Lord convicted Pastor Berkeley. And Pastor Berkeley said, every guy that I went and I got high, I'm a witness to every guy. And Pastor Berkeley prayed for and he witnessed to everybody that he led to get high. And there was a lot of us, too. And I remember he came and he asked me to go to church with him. And God was so in my spirit and God was so much drawing me that I told him, yeah. And I went to church with him that night and the preacher was preaching and I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart that night. And I remember I went up there and the preacher, he was the one that opened the Bible. And he was the one that told me, led me through the plan of salvation. And he said, you know, I don't understand how you got saved tonight. He said, because I didn't even preach that strong of a salvation message. I said, man, but the Holy Ghost was all up on me. I said, he was all up on me. And I remember when we came into the church, it was pouring down thunder and lightning. And when we left, it was pouring down thunder and lightning. But you know what? It seemed like my whole world had just lit up. And Jesus lifted that burden that was in my spirit. And so what am I trying to tell you? That if you will follow the light that God gives you, he will give you more light. If you follow the light of creation, if you look around and you see creation and all this that God has created, and you follow that light, God will give you more light. Let me share with you three scriptures real quick. The first one is Philip in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, light accepted brings forth light. Light rejected brings forth night. Acts chapter 8. And here Philip was going down to Gaza, and he saw this Ethiopian eunuch. And as he came across this Ethiopian eunuch, it says in verse 30, and Philip ran there to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I understand it except somebody explain it to me? What had he done? He had exposed himself to the what? To the light that God had gave him. He wasn't saved. The Ethiopian eunuch wasn't saved. He didn't know the Lord, but he was seeking. He was following the light that God gave him. And because he was following the light, he had no idea what it meant to be a Christian. No idea about this new birth and being born. Had no idea. But he was just reading the light. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. And we see in verse 36, And as they went on their way, there came a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ," amen, "is the Son of God." He had no idea who Christ was 5 minutes ago. No idea. But he followed the light that God gave him. And he accepted the light. And God gave him more light. Acts chapter 10, we read of a man named Cornelius. And Cornelius was a Gentile who, look what it says about him in chapter 10 and verse 1. There was a man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, who gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. But the man was not saved. He wasn't saved. He didn't know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. But what was he doing? He was following the light that God gave him. Oh, man, somebody. Man, when we pray for our loved ones, what we need to pray is, Lord, let them follow the light that you have given them. Because if they follow that light, then you'll give them more light. And we go on to read at the end of the chapter, where it says that, verse 44, "And while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them that heard the word. And the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit." The man got saved. He followed God. He was seeking God. He did good things. But God knew that his salvation was not complete. And so God sends Peter so that Peter can give this witness to him. And he accepted the Lord. My final witness today is a lady named Lydia in Acts chapter 16. Light accepted brings forth light. Light rejected brings forth night. Acts chapter 16, verse 14. "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that Paul spoke." So it says that she worshiped God, but she wasn't saved. She didn't know Christ. But what did she do? She opened up her heart to the things that Paul told her. And let me ask you a question. What was one thing that you think Paul told her? About Jesus Christ. About Christ. And what's the next thing we see? "And when she was baptized in her house, she besought him, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there.'" Here's three people that didn't know Christ, but they followed the light that God gave them. And when they followed that light, God gave them more light. Pastor Glaze followed the light that God, I was looking, and I could have got off track, but I kept looking. Following the light, God will give you more light. As I close this morning, there's a sad day that's coming, and it's found in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 19, or excuse me, Revelation 20, excuse me, Revelation 20. And here John says, "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and there were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. I think this is one of the saddest passages in the whole Bible. And after people have been brought up, their works have been revealed, and God judges and condemns them to the lake of fire, and I'm sure somewhere in there that people are going to try to offer God some excuses. And here's, as I close this morning, some excuses that they might come up with when they stand before God. And you might have heard them, and you might have even said them before. I was a good person. God, how can you let me go into this lake of fire? I was a good person. I lived by the golden rule. I kept the Ten Commandments. I did good unto others. But let me ask you this. You were good compared to who? I can always find somebody that I'm better than. All I got to do is if I'm feeling like I can't be good, better than somebody else, just walk out of your house. And eventually you will run into somebody that's worse than you are. God's standard has never changed. Be ye holy as I am holy. And the only way that we can be holy is in Jesus Christ. On my way to the lake of fire, God, there was just too many hypocrites in the church. Well, why don't you come on down and add one more? let's just get one more in. Come on down. But you know one thing I never hear people say? There's too many hypocrites at the football game. There's too many hypocrites on my job, so I'm not going to work. There's too many hypocrites at the grocery store, so I'm not going to buy groceries anymore. Why? How come there's too many hypocrites in the church? See, that's not going to fly. That's not going to fly. You know, I didn't need to get saved because I was always a Christian. You know, I got into a discussion with a man the other day, and he told me, he said, what do you mean about this? What are you talking about this born-again stuff? He said that I don't need to be born again. He said, I grew up a Christian, so why do I need to be born again? And I said, well, you know, maybe we can drop the term born again, or, you know, maybe if that's confusing you, we can drop the term born again. But somewhere you need to ask Christ to come into your life. He said, well, I do it every day. Now, let me ask you this. Why do I have to ask Christ to come into my heart every day? And there's some of y'all that are thinking the same thing. There's some people out there this morning thinking the same. Well, I pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart every day. For what? For what? The Bible says that you pray and you ask Jesus to come into your heart, and that he comes in and he abides in you, and nothing can separate you from the love of God, that you are in the Father's hand, nobody can pluck you out of the Father's hand, and that I can go back. He said, well, you guys, you Baptists, you always want to go back. Now, I'm getting ready to tell on the guy. He was Catholic. He went back. He said, you Baptists, and that's the only reason I'm saying, because now he's going to front on me, so I'll front on him, all right? He's going to front on me, so I'll front on him. He said, you Baptists believe that you got to have a day that you go back to and point to that you know, when you, I said, no, that's not it. I said, you just need to know that in your life, that somewhere, whether you can name a date, time on your grandma's back porch at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, drinking a glass of lemonade, or you don't have any idea when it was, but you just know that you did it. That there needs to have been a time in your life, don't give me this stuff. Don't give me this stuff that I've been a Christian all my life. Man, that grieves my spirit. And I can say it now because I'm preaching. But I'm going to sit out there with somebody and somebody going to tell me that. I guarantee you there's somebody in here that'll tell me that this morning. That I've been a Christian all my life. No, you haven't. You haven't. The Bible says that David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. It wasn't an act, but the nature. I was conceived with a sin nature. And I need to have that nature addressed. And I believe that God makes provision for children before they come to the age of accountability. I believe that. But you need to realize that you haven't always been a Christian. You're not a Christian until you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's why, oh, here we go again. Here we go again. That's why we don't baptize babies here. We don't baptize them. There's a lot of churches that do. We don't baptize babies. Because we believe in believer's baptism. And believer's baptism is once that you accept Jesus Christ, as you read the book of Acts, then that's when folk get baptized. Whew. Number four. I need to get my life straight first. That's why Jesus came and died. Because you couldn't do it. And by the way, let me ask you this question. When are you going to get it straight? Sit down. What's your plan? What's your plan for getting your life straight? Okay, you got to quit doing this. Well, when are you going to quit doing it? See, that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to help us get our life straight. And that we don't have to try to get it straight. Thank you, bro. We don't have to try to get it straight ourselves. Well, number five, I'm going to do it when I get older. Well, again, how old are you going to be when you do it? The Bible says the day is the day of salvation. You know, you might end up dying. How you know? You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You know, there's a whole lot of folk that woke up yesterday morning that thought they were going to be here today that are not here. So you can't say that I'll do it when I get older. Number six, I don't believe in hell. Well, you know where that came from, right? That came right from the pit of hell. That came right from the devil himself. If the devil can get you to stop believing that there's a hell, then you're all right. Because when we leave, it's just going to be a big party. And that's one of the ones that we got down a little further. I'll talk about it right now. All my friends are going to be in hell. Well, I don't want to be one of your friends. I don't want to be one of your friends because I don't want to go there. And what makes you think that there's going to be a party when you get there with all your friends? When you get there, the Bible said hell is a place of weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. That rich man in Luke 16, he didn't have too many friends. He wasn't hobnobbing with his friends, right? He was in torment. He was suffering. I follow the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments are not going to get you into heaven. You know, James said, if you follow all the commandments and you break one, you're guilty of the whole thing. So you can't live your whole life and follow the Ten Commandments without breaking one. And somebody said, yes, I can. All right, you know what? I'm glad you said it. I'll give you that. I'll give you that one. Okay? You can live your whole life without breaking the Ten Commandments. But let's go back to the Torah, and let's look at the 630 laws that Moses gave. And you can live by all 630 these without breaking. I'll give you the 10, even though you're lying. I'll give you the 10. I'll give you the 10, but there's still 630 that he gave. So you haven't kept all 630 laws. You can't do it. All religions lead to heaven. Well, first of all, let me ask you this question. How can all religions lead to heaven when you got one group that say if you fly a plane into a building that you'll go to heaven and have 20 virgins? And how can you have another religion that says, well, you shouldn't kill? Now, you gonna try to tell me that all religions lead to heaven? I'm just gonna be honest with you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Well, you know, Pastor Glaze, that's pretty narrow. That's pretty narrow. Yeah, well, it's just as narrow as this book right here. Yeah, it's just as narrow as this book right here. That's what the book says. You know, now, we can sit here and argue different things, but the bottom line is that there's only one way. And you know what? I've already got the notes. I'm gonna do a CD on it. But the CD that I'm gonna do is why Christianity makes the most sense. And you know what? I'm not even saying, let's just even say that Christianity don't get you to heaven. Let's just say it don't. Let's say none of them get you to heaven. None of them get you to heaven. If you study it out from a logical standpoint, you take the Bible out of it, you throw the Bible out of the way, and you don't talk about anything else other than logic, Christianity makes the most sense. Of anything else. And let me just, one thing. In every other religion, it depends on what you do. Every other one. It depends. Go study them. It depends on what you do. How do you know if you've done enough? How do you know when you've done enough? Christianity is the only one that says, you don't have to do anything. I've done it all. And all you got to do is accept Jesus, and you're in. You know, one thing I like, I was reading this illustration this morning, and it was talking about the thief on the cross. And it said the thief on the cross, that when he died, he had his feet nailed and his hands nailed to the cross. He couldn't go anywhere, and he couldn't do anything. The only thing he could do is what? Accept what Jesus gave him. You know, it's not about what we do and what we can do. It's about what God has done and grace through Jesus Christ. I don't believe in God. Well, you know, there's a verse that talks about you, and there's a day that honors you. April 1st is your day. And Proverbs or Psalm, I forget what it is now, but it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I want to go where all my friends will be gone. We already talked about that. And then finally, I want to finish sowing my wild oats. I still got some wild oats to sow. I went back and I said, now what does that mean? Sowing wild oats. And I studied the origin. I went back to this origin of phrases. And it says that there was a type of grass in Europe, which actually was a weed that had zero value to the farmer. And that what would happen is that it would grow up with, you know, the regular grain, and the farmer had to separate it out, almost like that wheat and chaff. And it said that these wild oats had absolutely no value at all. No value. There was no redeeming value. You couldn't use it for cereal. You couldn't make bread with it. There was nothing you could do with it. And so when people use the expression, I'm sowing my wild oats, what they're actually saying is that I just want to spend my life on nothing. Because that's what you're doing, right? Party all the time, party up in here. We're having a good time. Oh, let's do it. You know, and people want to party. They want to party all the time. And when you get into that lifestyle of party, 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 you sow your wild oats, and it's just like the phrase says, you end up with emptiness. How many people have, you know, gone to a party and walked away with anything of value? All right? They got to be careful now. I got to be careful. But that's where I met my wife at a party. I met my wife at a party. So I did walk away with something of value, right? But we're talking about on the real side, all right? You know, there's not a whole lot of redeeming value. So I'm not trying to say don't have a good time and don't enjoy yourself. That's not what I'm saying. But my point is when you, let me say this and I'm done. When you let that stop you from accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's wrong. That's wrong. When you let, because the fact that you want to party and you still got some wild oats to sow, when you let that stop you, that's wrong. And so we go back to what Paul said. He said, all men are without excuse. All these 12 excuses that I've heard, that you've heard, when people stand before God and they try to justify themselves before him, God will not listen to any of them. And there's only one thing that he wants to hear, that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Winners Just Do It, Losers Make Excuses. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, All Men Are Without Excuse, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request All Men Are Without Excuse. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request All Men Are Without Excuse. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, Dr. Glaze has authored 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order them, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.